right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Mr. Mitchell Henderson and his presentation for this week. He stays right on top of the world and watches. That's our oversight, and presents his views and analyses of things going on. And it's happening very quickly. This is all part of the project. I think the Great Reset is well underway now, and they're doing it very cleverly. They're giving us things that keep people happy, keep them looking away from the things they don't like. And I think that they're really turning loose a program that has been many years in the planning. I think they're that smart. Welcome back, Mitchell.
Good to be here.
Yes.
So,
what have you been doing?
Well, as always, I'm just paying attention. I'm looking for what they're doing and stuff. And tonight I want to talk about exactly how they're playing us. That's what the shock doctrine is about.
Shock?
Shock.
Got it. I wanted to be sure people heard that. Got it. Like shock therapy. Very good.
Now, this was a term that a phrase that was coined by Naomi Klein, who's a Marxist Canadian social commentator. She wrote a book called The Shock Doctrine. Okay. Now, her book, it sort of says what it is, but at the same time, some of her connections are a bit tenuous. Okay. But she is right. This shock doctrine, the CIA calls it something else. They call it destabilization operation. Okay.
Okay.
So it is a real thing. Okay. So let me start by just giving you some examples of lies that you hear, you've been hearing the last few weeks.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And the lies are meant to sow confusion, to get people upset. Okay. And it also shows you that the media actually does think that we are all idiots, okay? So the first lie I want to bring up, it's a lie of omission, okay? It's the immigration lies, okay? There's the lie that you'll hear them say that illegal entry is a civil matter. No, it is not. Illegal entry is a crime. The first time you illegally entered the United States, it's a misdemeanor. The second time you do it, it's a felony, okay? Although nobody ever gets arrested for this or charged or sentenced for this. I'll put it that way. Okay, now what is a civil matter is if you come to America on a visa and you overstay your visa, that is a civil matter, okay? But pay attention. If you come to America on a visa, have you illegally entered the United States? No, you have not. Illegal entry is a crime. If you come in on a visa, that's a legal entry. So they tried to gloss over this distinction, and it is a distinction. My dad was a border patrolman and an immigration criminal investigator, so I had to listen to these distinctions all my life, okay, as
sure,
he told
sure.
these war stories and stuff.
Yeah.
So, if you enter just one time and they catch you, that's a misdemeanor. You can get up to a year in jail. The second time you do it, it's 2 years in jail and it's a felony. Okay. If you are deported, say you're deported for a nonviolent crime, you do some nonviolent crime, if you come back in, it's 10-year felony, 10 years in prison. If you do a violent crime in the United States, that's any violent felony, okay, an aggravated assault, whatever, it is 20 years in prison if you come back into the United States after you've been kicked out for doing that, okay?
None of these people ever go to jail. No, I know.
They never go to jail.
It costs us about $75,000 a year to incarcerate somebody in a prison, something like that.
Right.
Let's just take that for a round number. And I wrote up my little proposal about how to get the deportation to be self-propelled, so to speak. Nobody's saying anything, but I think it'd work. At any rate, these people, the illegals who come in here, who get caught for any crime should be put into a forced labor camp to help make America great again. Let them work in the streets. Let them work in the fields. Let them work in the cities to clean up, whatever. These would be labor gangs. They would actually contribute to America rather than just take. And I mean $75,000 a year with that's right. That's right. Right. That's right. Go ahead.
Okay, the second immigration lie you hear is they say, well, Tom Homan said he was going to arrest all the violent criminals and ship them back first. But in fact, they say, oh, these other illegal aliens have done no violent crime in the United States, and yet they're getting kicked out also. Okay, so the ignorance of this is if you are a MS-13 guy and you're hanging out in the house with 20 other El Salvadorans that entered illegally, when the cops come for you, they're going to take the other 20 people with them, okay? It's just like anything. If the immigration officer arrests an MS-13 guy and in the same building there's other people who have illegally entered the country, they're all getting deported. That's just common sense law enforcement. They're not going to ignore other criminals sitting there right in front of them. They're not going to ignore that. They do not want to advertise this because you see the Democrats are all for giving sanctuary to these violent criminals. They want to help them. They want to protect them. So of course they want to protect the people that are protecting them. And so they kind of make this lie of omission. Okay, there's another lie of omission, and that is, Pam Bondi has the Epstein case on her desk, and we have to wait for her to review it. And so they're saying, oh, well, she's not going to really release it.
I bet you $10 she reviewed it the first night she had it. Come on.
Well, here's the thing, and this is a realist. Let's get real here. So in these tapes, you have two individuals in the tape. You have a child molester, and you have a child, right? So what do you have to do before you release these reports? You have to protect the victims. You can't just publish the name of all the little girls, okay? You can't do that. That's just not right. It's right to protect to put out the names of the criminals, but not of the victims and not of witnesses and stuff. So they do have to review that. Now, Pam Bondi could help herself out by just going ahead and just saying that, state the obvious. She just takes it for granted that everybody thinks that way. And she has to understand that, no, they don't. And if she doesn't spell it out, people are going to take advantage of that to make it look like she's just covering up. Okay.
Sure.
So technically, even in the JFK, Martin Luther King files and all that, there's people to be protected, okay? But the appearance of it sitting there and it not being put out makes it look like it's a cover-up. This is something Pam Bondi and Cash Patel needs to start doing. The FBI raids somebody's house. It's all over the news. They have cameras there. Oh, they're raiding the house. They ask the FBI, oh, what's this about? Oh, we can't say anything. Okay, this is a very bad thing, and I'll tell you why. Is there's no reason why if they're investigating mail fraud or they're investigating drugs or some other thing, there's no problem with them saying, oh, we're investigating mail fraud here in this place. Okay, they don't have to really give details, but they can tell us what they're doing. The fact that they haven't been doing that, especially under the Biden regime, they haven't been doing that, and I tell you where I got insight in this. I used to hang out with a guy who was the finger man for a death squad and for military intelligence in Guatemala. And he explained this to me. He says that to have shock value, you need the police to go out and grab somebody, never explain what happened to them, never explain what's going on. Just you raided this place, you took these people away. That terrifies people. That's government terrorism. So every time the FBI raids somebody's house and stuff, this is meant to terrorize you when they don't tell you what's going on. Okay, There's no reason they can't say this is a fraud investigation, or is this or a drug investigation or whatever. There's no reason at all. Listen, all the other people involved in the crime, they see that that house is being raided, and they know what the crime is about because they're involved in it, right? Mm-hmm. So why isn't the public? Why don't you just tell the public, and then you're not terrorizing people, okay? So that's another lie of omission, okay?
Hold on.
Yeah, go ahead.
The lie of omission has always struck me as being particularly deceitful.
Oh yeah.
I just find it to be really greasy. I'll be nice. It's awful. To not tell somebody and pretend like you're not lying is a joke, a bad joke. Go ahead.
Right. Okay, so then you have the firing everybody lie of omission. What happened is Biden went on a hiring blitz to pack the government with woke people for the past 4 years, okay? So the first thing that the new administration has to do is get rid of these people, okay? But you cannot fire people based on race, religion, blah, 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 all this other stuff, right? So what they have to do is just fire everybody they can fire, okay? So they're casting a wide net. Unfortunately, people who are not woke will get fired, too. However, I think it would be pretty difficult for somebody who was not woke to be hired under the Biden administration, okay? He didn't hire MAGAs, okay? So they can't really there's a reason they can't spell that out, okay? In this case, you know, they can't say, well, we have to fire everybody because, you know, we can't sort through them. Well, the fact is that they can't, and they probably don't have to, because probably everybody hired was at least a woke approved person. Okay, so that's a lie of omission too. Okay, so the next lie is firing the generals is unprecedented. Now this is an outright lie. This is not a lie of omission. This is an outright lie. I've seen other generals get on TV, on CNN and MSNBC, and say this is unprecedented that Pete Hegseth is firing these generals and admirals and stuff. It is definitely precedented. In 1940, George C. Marshall, chief of staff, he fired 600 senior officers immediately upon assuming control.
Wow.
He retained only 11 of 43 generals. Only 11.
Wow. That's remarkable.
So 3 out of 4 generals was fired.
Wow.
So Pete Hegseth is not doing any. As a matter of fact, the unprecedented thing he's doing is just firing a few people so far. Pete Hegseth should be firing thousands of senior officers right now, thousands of them. We don't have 43 generals now. We have 430 generals now. He needs to fire most of them, most all of them.
430 generals now?
Yes, that's generals.
Now, I know last hour, I think Frosty.
Our army is only one-tenth the size as it was in World War II.
Well, I think it was Frosty earlier tonight, said we have 7 in World War II and 43 now. I knew it was low, but how many?
We have over 400.
It's that high. Wow.
That high. Yes, that high.
Well, that's rot. That's
almost
rotting.
Every one of them.
Rotting from the top down. Go ahead.
Yeah. Right. And there's plenty of colonels, lieutenant colonels, majors, captains, and lieutenants that need the boot right now, too. He should be firing thousands of people, thousands of officers. He should be relieving them of the command and showing them the door, okay? It is absurd that he's only fired, like, 6 people, all right? So, but the news is saying this is unprecedented, what they're doing. Well, no, it's actually lightweight.
Well, that's the mainstream media news. Yeah, that's
ridiculous. Right. So, another lie, and this was a lie of deflection. Okay, and let's see if you can appreciate this lie. Okay, So I actually did a thing on Project Bluebeam a few years back or so. I did a thing on it, and the lie that they're saying now is that Project Bluebeam was a NASA project, and in the truth,
not true.
NASA had nothing to do with it.
Not true. That's right. Nothing to do with it.
But they're blaming Bluebeam on NASA, and they're saying there's no proof NASA was involved. Well, NASA was not involved because it's a CIA project.
Bluebeam's
it
been
is
around
not
for
a NASA
50 years.
Project.
50 years.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. And like I said at the time, what the CIA, the Department of Defense, everybody do, they come up with operations all the time, and they're operations in the can. Like they'll have some officers, and they'll say, hey, get together and make a plan in case we have to invade the Bahamas. And so they make this plan to invade the Bahamas. And it's not that they're going to invade the Bahamas, but they want a plan in the can for this. They want them to study the issue and have a plan prepared so that if the eventuality ever comes, then they can do it. So Project Bluebeam is a plan in the can, okay? And it's just sitting there. It's a real plan, okay? And you know why they started saying that it was a NASA plan instead of a CIA plan?
Well, when these
sightings in New Jersey started happening, okay, well, they had to come up with a story. The government story on this, on the phenomena they saw, they're so lame. Such lame explanations, okay? So they had to deflect away from that. So they says, the whole thing of Project Bluebeam, that was supposed to be something NASA developed, and NASA never did develop it. Well, they're telling the truth. NASA did not develop it, okay? It was the CIA that developed that plan. And if you remember, I went into it, like these officers in the CIA in the 1950s, they remembered Orson Welles' War of the Worlds and the effect that had on the radio, and then they were looking at space movies on TV in the 1950s, and they said, "Oh, the TV is a much more powerful media that we could do this on to unify the people against a common enemy of space invaders and stuff." It was a clever plan, you know. And it's, of course, they do you think the CIA doesn't sit around thinking about things like that? This is their job. Yes, they sit around and think about things like that. Okay, so let me give you another deflection.
I think the CIA sits around and thinks about a lot of other things, too, that they shouldn't be wasting their time on.
Oh, yeah.
They all,
yeah.
Let's talk about house cleaning. No, Ed Seth is not cleaning the military up like we're being told. It's just not happening. He's making some DEI deletions, some leftist liberal deletions. That's all good. But he really should come in with a vacuum.
I'm not complaining about what he's doing, but he does need to get busy and turn on the vacuum. You know. Yeah.
Right.
So let me tell you another lie of deflection. Okay. So you're going to have to follow my logic here, though. Okay. Because this is going to be controversial, what I'm saying. Okay, so you understand that international socialism or Marxism is based on class warfare. In other words, setting the economic classes against each other. Okay? National socialism is based upon race warfare. Okay? So, we have a problem in the United States that if we want Marxism in the United States, can we really have an appeal to class warfare? Let me tell you, we are a classless society, whether people want to admit it or not. I lived for a couple of years in a British colony, and I understand what class is. Class means everything in this society. Americans just are not really familiar with class at all because we don't have a class. We have people that think they're in a class, but really that class is not like within the culture and mandated by government.
That works.
So for Marxists to agitate here in the United States, what they have to do is they have to appeal to race warfare instead of class warfare. Okay. So but it's the opposite of 1930s Germany, because instead of it being the white people they pit against all the other people, they just pit all the other people against the white people. The big bad boogeyman is basically the straight white male. He's the problem. Women are okay. Homosexuals are okay. You know, people of color are okay. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. So what's important about this deflection is you hear the Biden, the woke people, they call Trump and they call the white people Nazis. Okay. You hear it every day on TV. Trump is a Nazi. Big news people call Trump a Nazi. Other politicians call him a Nazi. You know who the Nazis are? The Nazis are the woke people. They are the woke people. Do you know how the woke people get around being called Nazis? Instead of calling themselves Nazis, instead of calling it National Socialism, they created a new term called identity politics. What identity politics is racial Nazism. Okay. So it's not Trump that is the Nazis. It is the Democratic Party of the United States are the Nazis. Okay. Now I'm not going back to 1930s National Socialism. I'm just going on the pure definition of political ideologies. Okay. Identity politics is a euphemism for Nazism. It's a racist National Socialism that the woke people in the Democratic Party have for the United States. Okay. The victims are straight white men.
Yeah, sure.
So, right. So these are all lies. Now, the purpose of this lie is the shock therapy, shock doctrine. This is how they change the world. You know, we've heard this talked about, never let a crisis go to waste or order out of chaos, stuff like this. So I want to try to relate this to people the best that I can. So let's go first to the veterans out there, all the veterans, everybody that's done military service out there. Let me try to make you understand this first. So, you know, you're a civilian one day, and then you go in the Army or the Navy or the Air Force, whatever, and you go to boot camp, okay? When you go to boot camp, they turn your world upside down. They scream at you. They control your world. They take everything away from you. They tear your personality down to make you into a soldier, an airman, or a sailor, right? So that is a shock therapy. What they're doing is, I mean, they actually shock you. They come and they scream and yell at you on day one, you know? This is part of breaking you down so they can shape you into the soldier, the airman, or the sailor that they want you to be, okay? So that is shock doctrine there, okay? So another example would be Stockholm syndrome, okay? When people are taking hostages and stuff, the hostage takers can manipulate these people to where they're actually on the hostage taker's side, okay?
Sure.
By just shocking their world, okay? So another example of this would be like the Milgram experiment, which happened in the 1950s, and this was an interesting experiment because Stanley Milgram, his coworkers, they thought, well, you know, only certain types of people would obey authority to the point where they would just hurt other people. Okay, and they were thinking that like there's something in the German soul that makes Germans like if they're ordered to hurt somebody, they'll hurt them. So what they did is they got regular people. They started out with just regular people, so nobody's looking for Germans to do this experiment with. So they got regular people, and then these people they put on a lab coat, and they go tell the people, oh, okay, you have to, if this guy doesn't do what you want, you have to administer a shock to him, and then you have to turn the shock up and up and up. Now, the people on the other side weren't actually being shocked. They just had a meter to tell them that they were getting more juice, so they would cry out in pain and misery as if they were being tortured, okay? And what the Milgram experiment found out is everyday people will do as they're told. Okay. And this sort of shocked them, because they thought only certain types of people might be susceptible to that. But they came to the conclusion that, hey, yeah, just anybody off the street will do it. You know, it's like, it doesn't take a certain type of person to torture other people. Anybody will do it if authority tells them to do it. Okay. So, anyways,
true.
It's a psychological
true.
Manipulation. Okay. Yeah. So let's go back to 1973. They did this in Chile under the Pinochet regime. They did a shock therapy. Now the shock therapy in Chile wasn't just political shock therapy. It was a very strong economic one too. Okay, and this was based on laissez-faire capitalism of the Chicago Boys, of Milton Friedman, and laissez-faire capitalism. So what they did is they fired everybody, they shut everything down, they kicked everybody out of their jobs, especially government jobs. They did a purge of the whole society, purged it. Okay, did this work? Well, yes, Chile became a very stable economy and a very stable, fairly, I'd say, a very crime-free place. I went to Chile in 1984 under the Pinochet regime, and man, you just didn't really have to worry about crime at all. Crime wasn't going to happen. Okay. So the people weren't free.
Well, go ahead. Well, going to say, the word I've heard is that Chile, unfortunately, has a lot of communists now. They proliferated.
Yes.
Not only there,
it's
but
woke.
In
the...
Yes, you got it.
The president is a woke president.
Got it. Okay, go ahead.
So what we have next door in Argentina is Javier Milei, and when he took over, he fired everybody and up into the economy. Well, the Argentine economy is actually improving. Okay, but he did he fired 20% of all government workers right off the bat. He just fired a bunch of people and stuff. Okay, so I want you to realize that that's what's going on here in the United States now. All these people they're firing, they're doing a shock doctrine here. Okay, they're firing all these people, but justifiably so, you know. But Milei was justifiable in Argentina too. This was dead weight. These were people that were actually. Their government job was like being on the dole. Okay, they were getting paid just to. It was, in other words, their government job was a welfare thing. Okay, where they were given a job as a welfare to keep them happy and stuff. Okay, which I think probably a lot of our government jobs are the same way here in America. Okay, so when you want to upend a society. What you got to do is you have to do this. You have to do a shock to the system. What's going on in America right now is a shock. Most people are happy about it. And let me tell you, down the road, odds are that it's gonna make things better. Okay, like it did in Chile. All right. So let me give you another example of a shock doctrine. The murder rate in El Salvador 3 or 4 years ago was out of this world. I mean, 76 murders in a day. I mean, it was just out of control.
In
so
one city.
Wow. In one city.
In
San Salvador.
Yeah.
So what President Bukele, he says, okay, enough is enough. He says, we're going to arrest all the gangsters. It's the gangsters doing all this crime. So if you got a gang tattoo on you, you're going to prison. Okay. So he put 50, he's got over 50,000 MS-13 and 18th Street gang guys in prison, a big prison in El Salvador. The rest of the world said, oh, no, you have to let these people out. You put innocent people in there and stuff, right? And this doesn't respect their freedom. Let me ask you this question. What about the day-to-day freedom of the average hardworking El Salvadoran person who just wants to make a living, who just wants to support their family, who just wants to hang out with the people they love, who just wants to have a better life for themselves? What about their rights? Okay, nobody cares about their rights. Look at what's happened in America under the Biden regime. Did anybody care about the rights of law-abiding citizens? No, they cared about the rights of criminals, the rights of illegal aliens, the rights of bad people. They did not care about the rights of good people.
It was crazy. Okay. I still think I still at this point am leaning toward the thesis that the entire Biden regime was a psyop designed to beat us down to get us ready for Trump's return and the Great Reset, which I believe is underway now. I think that's what's going on.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Let me tell you, I think I talked about this last time, that it was months ago that I maybe back in November or so, I was just listening to some special operators talking. And and generally, I kind of like to listen to them because they have a lot of insights. I mean, they do the dirty work for the government, so they're aware of things very often. Okay, you know, they're aware, but much more politically conscious than most people are.
Yeah,
because they're in the dirt. They're down and dirty doing it. So they were telling me that they thought that the Biden administration was a red herring. It was a thing to get us set up to be saved from this Marxist Nazi state, okay, whatever. So, listen, I know some people out there are going to be kind of confused that I would use the term Nazi and Marxist at the same time, but you got to understand this is from a strictly a pure definition of the
you know, it doesn't really, Mitch, I've always looked at it maybe rather simplistically. It doesn't really matter what you call it. It's greed, power, and avarice.
Yes.
That's what it is. Many different labels.
Oh, well, to these people at the World Economic Forum, we are insects, Jeff.
Correct.
We are insects. We are bugs that need to be exterminated. Their thing is they want to save the earth. They want to save the earth for themselves, but they don't want the rest of the people on. They are the most hateful creatures that ever existed.
They are
on the face of this earth. They're pure evil.
They think AI is going to pick up the reins, and they won't need much of us left. That's what this terrible genocide.
Well,
thing is all about.
I mean. Let's go back to something Karl Marx said over 100 years ago. He said, the production of many useful things creates many useless people. I mean, he had this insight in the 1850s and 60s. Okay? So he understood that if you can increase in technology, you can get rid of people. And if you get rid of people, well, you don't have to make them happy. It's easier to please less people than it is to please more people.
So,
remember Stalin. I mean, Stalin was very good at this. He said, one man's death is a tragedy. A million men's death is a statistic. Okay.
Nothing more
so
true than that
a very
statement.
Cold view.
That's absolutely
towards
right.
Us.
Yeah.
Okay. There was another thing. I'm trying to think of who it was. I think it was Winston Churchill. He said that the humanist is the biggest hypocrite on earth. Okay, people who say that they're humanists tend to be the most hypocritical people. They really don't care about other human beings. And all these people on the left, they're atheists, they're humanists. Okay, somebody says they're a humanist, you know, they don't really care about humans. Okay? It's all statistics for them. So anyways, that's what shock doctrine is. It's everything that you see that's going on. They're sowing confusion. They want you to be confused. They want you to not really have a good grasp of what's going on because they're leading us down a path into a nightmare. We're headed into a nightmare that we cannot see. You can see all the ducks lining up. I mean, look at the change just in the attitude of the Trump administration towards Russia. I was complaining a month ago that they didn't know anything about Russia. But now, all of a sudden, now they know about Russia. They know that we started the war on Russia. It's just that Europe can't get over it. And They want to believe the fiction that Russia started this, when in fact Russia was telling us since 1989 not to grow. Why is there a NATO? Just ask that question. Why does NATO exist? For what? Who's going to attack NATO countries? Who? Once the Soviet Union went away, why did we need NATO? NATO went from a defensive alliance in 1992 to an offensive alliance. Did they really offend? Did they really go on the offensive? Yes, they did, Jeff. In 1999, they invaded, they bombed Yugoslavia, stole Kosovo away from them. This is all against the UN Charter. Took Kosovo away from them, made it into a new country. When they bombed Libya out of existence. I mean, look at all the countries that they have destabilized in the Middle East. For the sake of Israel, we have exterminated wide swaths of Arab people. We have destroyed Christianity in the Middle East for Israel. Okay, the 2003 invasion of Iraq was the beginning of the end of Christianity in the Middle East. Okay, because and when these Christians wanted somebody to run, Europeans didn't want them, America didn't want them. We would take Muslim refugees, but we would not take Christian refugees.
No.
So, I mean, this is, and what have we done? We've destroyed the lives of countless people in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in Syria, in Somalia, and
don't forget
Libya,
don't forget what we've done in Ukraine with Vicky Noodleman and $5 billion U.S. We've killed well over a million Ukrainians are dead now.
Right.
14 million have fled the country, depending upon who you ask. They'll never come back, most of them. They don't want to come back. Their country's been destroyed. It's being turned into a second Jewish state. That's the plan. They're not there yet, but they're getting closer. If there is some kind of a peace deal made with Trump, you will see Ukraine, or what's left of it, become essentially a Jewish state. I'm convinced of it.
Well, Zelensky says to replace all these people that left, he wants to bring in people from Africa and people from the Muslim nations to replace the white Christian Ukrainians that were there.
Yep.
Let's put that country right there in the in southwest southeast Europe. Okay. So these people are evil people.
Oh yeah. Terrible.
So anyways, what they're moving for, and you can see it. You can just see it. Even Trump with China, I think he's going to try to make nice with China, because you know what? China's not the point, and Russia's not the point, Jeff. The point is Israel. We must do everything we can to appease Israel and help Israel.
Serve Israel.
And Israel has one big goal, and that is to destroy Iran. I don't care how nice Trump gets to be with Russia or China. As soon as the United States attacks Iran, it's on. China and Russia are not going to allow that shit to happen. Okay? It'll be on. Now, Trump thinks that he can maneuver China and Russia into a position where they'll be neutral on Iran, but taking Iran is like taking Ukraine. That's to Russia's south. They don't want to be blocked off to the south. They don't. That's unacceptable.
They can't tolerate it. They can't.
No. And China can't tolerate it either, because that's where they get most of their petrochemicals and stuff from.
Yeah.
This is where they get a lot of their fuel comes from there. That's why China has a base in Djibouti. I mean, they're trying to protect that oil lane, that long oil lane that goes from Iran all the way to mainland China. Okay. It's important to them. They're not going to just roll over and let that happen. Okay, so this is where it's going to go. So what I'm saying, what I'm trying to say is, the Shock Doctrine, it doesn't always work, but But a lot of times it does work. In this case, in the United States, they're getting rid of a lot of dead weight. One of the reasons why Malay had to fire all those workers and stuff is he had bills to pay. He had Argentina had a great amount of debt, foreign debt. Well, so does the United States. We have $37 trillion in debt. So we have an impossible task. How can we possibly pay this off? How can we possibly do it? We don't have the economic levers to be able to do that. So that's why we have to have this shock. Now, the time when the shock doctrine did not work was when Clinton, when the Soviet Union fell, Clinton went in and he tried to do a shock doctrine in Russia. Only thing is the beneficiary of that shock doctrine was Russian Jewish mobsters, oligarchs, Russian mafia. Okay, the Russian people had already been through the Bolshevik, which was a Jewish shock to their system that took 100 billion of their lives. Okay, so we go in the 1990s and we do the same thing with Yeltsin as the front man there, a drunken alcoholic who just was laying around drunk while his country was being looted by Jewish oligarchs. Okay. The Russian people know this. They know that that's what happened. You know? Their lives were made miserable. They suffered miserably in the 1990s. The United States did not go make their friends. You know, I just read an article. This is an old World Affairs journal published in 2015. And I just wanted to read it because it's talking about their thinking in Russia about Russia in the United States in 2015. It was written by Walter Lacker, who was a very big geopolitical
writer. Was a year.
He wrote about the terrorists.
Yeah. That was a year after we overthrew the government in Ukraine.
Right.
Go ahead.
So what he was talking about is there was a group of people in America that, and in Europe that what they thought was that we should be friendly with Russia. They said, man, do you realize with Russian resources and good relations with Europe, Europe could become the powerhouse, the number one economy in the world. Okay? I mean, just imagine Russian resources plus European industry. They would have eclipsed both China and the United States, which is exactly why we intervened. The United States has to be number one. We can't allow Europe to do that. Look where Europe is today. Europe is talking about independence from America. Okay? Because
Europe is suddenly running a poor third in the Russia-U.S. race. It's very interesting to watch. Europe is not doing well at all. Now, today, they're talking about 30,000 U.K. troops to be sent to Ukraine. And then somebody else mentioned they want to send 360,000 troops to Ukraine from all European countries. This is suicide. They're crazy.
Yeah, the Russians are not going to allow that. I mean, why would they allow NATO troops on Ukrainian soil? They're not going to allow it. They don't want European troops there. It's really out of the question. If you look at the Germany just had its elections. Now, let me explain something very fast about the election. So they had the people that have been in power were called the Traffic Light Coalition. So it had the Reds were the SPD, the Olaf Scholz's party. Then the Greens were the Green Light, that's the leftist Greens. And then the SPP, which their color was yellow. It was a pro-business party. Okay, so in the election, the pro-business party got zero seats in parliament. The Greens and SDP, together they have like 205 seats. And then the CDU, CSU, the new ones that won, they got 208 seats in parliament, okay?
Okay.
So
yeah.
that leaves them in a bind because can they really rule on their own. That's only one-third of Parliament. So they have to either join with the traffic light people to get what's done. That means sharing ministry portfolios with them and stuff. Or they have to join with Die Linke, which is the left, which they're out now. Marxist communists, and they're unlikely to cooperate with anything.
AFD. It has to be AFD.
AFD won 150 seats.
Yeah.
And
they're the kingmaker now.
The CDU treats the AFD like the Democrats treats Trump. They're Nazis. They're evil.
Yeah,
we can't do anything with them. We can't cooperate with them at all. That means that the CDU that just won this vote, there will be no changes in Germany.
And they're calling the CDU a conservative, strong part of the... No, and the AFD is actually the spirit of what made Germany such a force in the world for much of the last century. That's the truth. That's the AFD.
Oh, yeah.
These are Germans.
Yeah.
Germans for Germany. Nothing wrong with
that. Right, yeah. Yeah, nothing at all.
Well, I hope they somehow...
So nothing's going to really change.
Continue. They're good. And they're from the East, remember. The East Germans were the ones who remembered. They wiped out most of the German nationalists in the West, but not in the East.
Yes, yes. There's a woman that I knew from East Germany, and I used to talk to her. I haven't talked to her in years and stuff, but I used to talk to her all the time, and she was very... she really hated Marxism. She hated wokeism. She wasn't buying into any of this stuff, everything. And I said, well, all the other German people are basically pussies. Why are you have some balls to stand up and stuff? And she said, well, because I live my life in East Germany. She says, I've already been through all this crap that they want to impose on us. I've lived that. Almost my entire life, and I don't want to go back to it again. And that's why AFD is stronger in Eastern Germany than it is in the West.
Right.
So.
Well, I'm hoping for AFD. I have from the beginning. I just think that's what Germany was all about and why Germany was the greatest country on the planet at one time, for a long time, half a century at least.
You do know that that's why the Marxists, they wanted Germany to be the place where they started this world Marxist revolution because it had that strength and stuff.
Correct.
And they wanted Marxism to eclipse the German ideology.
That's the Weimar days.
It's always been a big fight there.
That's right. Yeah. Well, we'll see. The AFD is the future of Germany, period. There's no other way to look at it. The winners conservatives and all? It's ludicrous.
No, they might as well be woke people. They're like the Democratic Party of the United States, the CDU and CSU.
Crazy.
They're not conservative at all. They're just not. I think their failure is what's going to cause the AFD to win more votes in the next election. And they've got 150 seats this time. That's one out of four seats in Parliament. Okay, that's impressive. Okay, but they're going to need more if they're going to change anything.
Well, we don't know how legit the election was either. How many seats were stolen? We don't know. It could have been 50, 60 seats stolen. You just don't know.
Well, it could be. I think it was. I have a sense that their election sort of mirrored ours a little bit, in that early on, the CDU and the traffic lights were actually neck and neck, and then they got like three or four extra more votes than the traffic lights did.
Why do they call them traffic lights again, Mitchell? Why do they call them traffic lights?
Because it's red, green, and yellow. So the reds,
it's
the SPD, the greens are the greens, and the yellow is the other party that they had in the coalition. So
that's kind of funny. Yeah, very good. All right, excellent. Survey as usual. Talk to you next week. Have a good week. Be safe out there, and take care.
Okay, everybody out there, have a good week.
Thank you again. See you soon. Good night, Mitch. Okay, that's it for this evening on Monday. We're back at it again tomorrow night in 21 hours. Have a good day. This is very interesting what's going on now. It's not boring. And I think as long as they keep, they know what they have to do. They have to throw us cookies. So let's hope. And I think there are going to be big changes here coming up very soon. Any day, every day. Talk tomorrow. Take care.